All right, let's see. Kelly, you are first. Let me unmute you. There we go. All right.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Let me turn you up. I had my speakers turned down from when I was listening to the Game of Thrones while I was working. I always listen to the Thrones when I'm working because it makes me like go at it. Well, we got time.
Okay. So I asked to be coached on my thoughts around time and work. So I'm a speech pathologist at Vanderbilt in town.
You're here in Nashville.
Yeah. I'm a local. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't come to our meetup the last time, did you?
No, I wasn't aware of it, but I'm going to come to one in September.
Oh, awesome. Cool. Yeah. All right.
So I love what I do. It's my passion. I have no problem working more than like 40 hours a week. That's not my problem, but I feel like an obligation to do so. And that's a thought that I've been trying to work on in my TDLs, every day. I feel,
well, if you don't mind doing it, why do you feel obligated? Why are you not just doing it from like, well, I love it.
And there are days that there are days that I feel like I'm just drowning in work. Like I can't force myself to get away from it.
But like, that's a different problem than feeling obligated.
I think I've multiple problems around work.
Okay.
I feel guilty if I don't stay up until like 9:30 working every night.
What's going to happen if you were to go to bed?
My notes wouldn't be done. I'd have more things piled on the next day. I feel like I wouldn't be able
to. So the paper would have its feelings hurt.
And I think I'd be in my poopy diaper.
Yeah. I want to point out that you're like, well, I'd have that paper sitting there. I'd have those tasks, like feeling guilty.
Yeah.
When we feel guilty, it's because something is suffering. Mm-hmm. Who's suffering when you stop working? Who's going to suffer is what I want to know.
I think me the next day, because I'll have those notes plus the notes from the next day to still do.
So you the next day could just have the previous days back. That's always an option. You could just not beat yourself up for it and not be overwhelmed by the paper and be like, yeah, I went to bed. It's time to get to work.
Yeah. And I think I also struggle.
Now, wait a minute. Let's go back. Like, you're like, yeah, but you don't have your own back.
Yeah.
If no one's going to suffer but Kelly, then Kelly is the person suffering at Kelly's own expense. How does Kelly suffer? Her thoughts about her work, right? Mm-hmm. Her thoughts about herself. Mm-hmm. One night, not work until 9:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been this way my whole life. I've always felt like I had to just give 150%, and I'm still trying to figure out why that is. Like,
why you give 150%? Because I give 150% and it doesn't hurt my feelings.
Part of it's because I enjoy it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it. But I think a significant part of it is like this feeling of obligation, or this feeling of like what others would think about me. I think there's an element of that too.
Okay. Which one, like, let me go back to, it's for sure what other people think. I'm going to give you that one because everybody has it.
Yeah.
I mean, I yet to have one of you get on a call and be like, I have no problems with whatever anybody else thinks. Like, that's an easy one. Obligation. If you feel obligated, I still haven't figured out the thought that's coming from that.
I don't know if I have either.
Tell me why you're obligated. Give me five guesses. I'm obligated to do my work because I think
that I won't do the best for my patients if I don't give it my best. I feel like,
is doing your work from obligation your best work or your obligated work?
Probably my obligated work.
So that's something to just be aware of. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's your next one?
Not sure.
I just need four wrong guesses.
I'm not sure.
This is why I don't think it's obligation.
Okay.
Like, I feel obligation to spend time with Logan.
Yeah.
I feel obligation to, you know, have sex a couple times a week. But I don't know that you're having an obligation issue. I think you're having a, I'm afraid to not do this work issue. It sounds more like you're in fear of something.
Yeah.
I feel guilty if I don't do it. And that's why I was kind of asking, like, well, who's going to suffer? I think you have made some connection. Your patients will somehow suffer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You have to tell me.
I worry about how I will be able to keep doing my work each day if I have stuff still sitting on the back burner that I haven't addressed yet.
Let me ask you this. Do you have stuff on your back burner every day anyway? Do you ever finish everything? Like, oh, here I am completely done. That was an amazing day.
Maybe once every 2 weeks.
Okay. So every single day, except once every 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
there's stuff on the back burner and your patients are still being seen. Mm-hmm. I want you to see the lie that your brain is smoking up here.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't do all this work, if you don't like work till 9:30 at night and everything, that somehow someone's suffering and that, you know, things will, this back burner is going to, like, I guess, rage out of fire. Like, you have a back burner smoking for 13 out of every 14 days mm-hmm. anyway.
Right.
And yet Rome has not burned yet.
Right. Yeah. But I think you're right. I think there is an element of fear to it. And I think I work so hard because I don't want that fear to be realized. I don't want to see what happens.
What's the real fear? Like, what is the realized fear is the best question. We already know that having work undone is not somehow ruining you or ruining a patient, because that's how you just normally operate.
Right.
That's just, we call it ginned up drama, unnecessary suffering. It's like, I have until this time to get my work done. And when my work's not done, I'm going to go to bed knowing I gave it 100% because I love my job.
Right.
I'm going to wake up the next day and I'm going to have these extra things to do like I do every day, except for the 14th day, the lucky 14 day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to like beat myself up over it. That solves my guilt. And the reason why I'm laying all this, I know it sounds simple, but you've got to simplify it in your brain or it's going to be a big problem all the time.
Right.
And you need to just see, like, this is my thoughts. This is more of my thoughts. Now tell me this fear that you just talked about.
That's what I've been trying to get to in a lot of my my models and TDLs is, like, what am I really afraid of?
Yeah.
One of my guesses is what people think of me, you know, like I've always.
Like, I'm going to tell you right now. Where's your name? Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
She's slow. Did you know she has to work till 9:30 every night just to get her fucking work done? I don't. I watch Friends. They're for sure thinking shit like that. They're already thinking probably everything you're most afraid of. So what?
It doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good because of your brain, not because of theirs. Because are they telling you all this stuff?
No.
Right. So how do we only know that it's your own suffering?
Because I don't really know what they think.
Right. But you've created a story about it.
Right.
And I just always invite you guys to create the worst story first. That they all think that you're some kind of ridiculous person who can't get her work done by 9:30 at night and spins out in worry and judgment all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's really happening in your brain.
Right. I want to be okay with like taking breaks and to not work till 9:30 every night. Like, I'd like to spend time with my husband. I'd like to work on PNP more. I'd like to just feel like I can have more time for me. And
so
not
how do you think that's going to happen?
To just do it.
Yeah. While your brain screams, oh my God, Kelly, everyone's judging you and you're a loser and all your patients will suffer tomorrow. Now go sit down on the couch with your husband. That's the process.
Right. I know there's not going to be a magic thought for it.
No, here's the magic. If you take those breaks often enough, you start proving yourself wrong about this big story you've created. Mm-hmm. But suddenly everyone's going to be judging you, and these papers on the back burner somehow, flame up and set off the sprinkler systems. And, you may judge yourself the next day, but you just start watching yourself and be like, but you know what? That's normal. I'm used to judging myself. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean we're going to stop practicing not judging ourselves. I mean, what you said was so beautiful. This is all I want. I want to be able to spend time with my husband at night and stop my work at an appropriate time and blah, blah, blah. Like, then do that. Unless there is a reason other than self-generated drama to not do it, then you're going to have to just start with that.
Okay.
I just want you to be prepared. The reason why I pointed all your thoughts out is for this very reason. Because when you take your first break, when you're like, all the paper is staring at you that you didn't get done because you're going to go watch Friends with your husband or whatever it is you guys like. You're going to judge yourself. And that's going to be your magic moment of it. I'm either going to believe my judgments and keep acting out of fear, or I'm going to be like, no, it's going to be okay. I'm figuring this out. And my brain can, at as crazy as it wants, it will take a few times doing that to where your brain relaxes and it's like, okay, this is the new normal and we'll be okay.
Okay. I'll give that a try.
No, you're not going to try. What are you going to do?
I will do that.
Yeah, you cannot even let your brain think you're trying this on, because there's not a problem. You need to tell yourself right now, I really don't have a problem. I have self-judgment. That's what I have. No one's going to suffer. The only person suffering right now is you, honey. We got to put an end to that, and that's optional. That's the crazy part. You're going to have to choose to not suffer. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you every day, I would choose not to suffer.
I know. I want to start choosing that. I need to for my own mental health.
You do. Because I want to tell you, this is for all of you guys. This will be ever bit as hard as choosing not to snack.
Yeah.
If not more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm sure you get a dopamine rush as you're flying through that paper.
Yeah.
And, you do love your job and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I want you to tell yourself, the reason why I am doing this is because I'm really good at my job. I really do love it. My patients deserve more than someone who's sitting around pushing themselves to burnout.
It's true.
You know?
I don't want to get to that point.
No, the best way not to be burned out is to really love your job. And you're going to have to love your job enough to set a personal boundary for yourself. Your job's not breaking it. Kelly's breaking it. You need your own boundary with your work. Start small, though.
Okay.
Don't say like, all right, now 7 days a week, I'm cutting my work off. Like, how many days a week do you work late?
5.
All right, let's have one night we put it away. Okay. And let's just do that for a couple weeks. And then maybe you can do another night for a couple of weeks, like back it out. Because what will happen, this is just like when we do realistic planning. What will happen is you will see, it's not like, you're going to need to be very aware. Like, here's the worst things that happen. I scream at myself in my head when I stop working about all the like danger and drama of not doing my work. That's one part of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to watch that. And then the next part will be the next day, I will be screaming at myself about taking the break the night before. And I'm going to need to tell myself, it's fine to freak out. Here are the benefits of doing that.
Okay.
You want to do that. And then what happens is after a couple of weeks, when you start proving yourself, it's better than you thought it would be. It's a little bit easier than you thought it would be. Nothing terrible is really happening. You will feel more motivated to add another day. and you'll already have the skill of listening to yourself and talking to yourself and understanding the process, then it will become easier and easier to transition out of overworking.
Okay.
Overworking and overeating are exactly the same thing.
Okay.
There's just no sugar with the work.
Damn it.
I know. It's like, paperwork at least had sugar on it. It'd be a better deal. Yeah. All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's see who's next. Oop, I'm on the wrong thing. Emma. Hello. Oh, somehow you started sharing your screen. Let me
stop that.
Yeah. At least we know you're on the Zoom call.
Okay.
There's nothing weird on your screen. That's always fun.
Okay, how do I stop doing that? Stop share. Okay, there we go.
Yeah. All right, what are we coaching on?
We are coaching on. So you had a Facebook Live about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And you had said that you had the thought that you'll never have the body that you want, and how like it was like a harmless thought. And I was like, I have that thought all the time.
It's so funny. I just wrote in the Facebook group about this.
And I had never, like, before you had said that, I had never thought of that as a bad thought. I had just thought of it as, like, a matter of fact, kind of like a circumstance, because I kind of imagined the body that I wanted, and not all imaginations are practical or realistic. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, but is it true?
Yeah, exactly. Because I want you to think about the thought of I'll never have the body I want. That's not a circumstance.
Yeah, it's not.
It's a thought about a visual image you have.
Yes.
Or a picture you've seen, or a version of you in the past, whatever, right? It's the thought about that.
Exactly.
It's a terrible thought, because if you think about it, it never feels good. It feels resigned.
Yeah.
It did not feel like, you know, I'm in the dooter, blah, blah, blah. But it also doesn't fuel the actions that you want. So I want you to think about, when it comes to your body, what actions do you want with it?
Well, I think I developed this thought along the lines that I couldn't run anymore because of injuries. Mm-hmm. And so in like the 4 weeks and like this last month, I've been doing work on like, can I actually not run, or am I choosing not to run? We had a coaching call before, but I know like you get a lot. So, but I broke my leg 5 times and my doctor told me not to run anymore. And it was,
you weren't.
Yeah, he was like, I don't think we should do that anymore. That's not your activity. But, I began like taking the steps to getting like shoe inserts, new shoes, looking at like the Don't Stop Believing race, just like having a goal, creating a goal, and taking the steps to making it happen. Because I think a lot of how this thought was created was from, I really liked the body that I had. Mm-hmm. I was a runner, I was an athlete, and I really enjoyed having that kind of body.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to try to create it again with what I knew from the past had created it. So
what if you decided that that was never the body you were supposed to have going forward?
And I had that thought. I was like, am I supposed to have that body anymore?
Have you even considered there's a better body for you?
Yeah, I
one
have.
One that you could love more. Mm-hmm. That's the important part of this, is when we think I'll never have the body I want, it doesn't compel us to take action towards what is the body that I want?
Exactly. I actually wrote that question on a whiteboard. And then I asked myself, what other thoughts am I creating from the feelings that I have from that thought, but also from like what other thoughts are supporting that one?
Well, tell me though, what is the body that you want? This is a trick question.
It is a trick question. It's the body that I have. I know that. The body that I want is the body I have.
So fucking tricky.
No,
you ruined it. You ruined it. No,
but
it's the body I have.
I always used to think it was like, I want to be so slender. I want to look like a dancer. I want to be But I've always had different bodies in different parts of my life, and I've always wanted them at different times. Does that make sense, or is that too like weird?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I'm working through, and I'm thinking, and I'll share some of my stuff and you can share some of your stuff, is okay. I decided to think, I asked myself, what is the body I want? And was I going to be able to say the one I have? Because it was really hard for me. Mm-hmm. And then I got to thinking, but if your answer is the one I have is the one I want, how does your action line change? Because if you really want this body, you start moving into wanting to treat it way better.
That's really true. For me, I don't know if I went to my action line, but I went to all of the things that my body has done for me, mm-hmm. or all of the things that I have been able to do because of my body.
But I think you're laddering there. I think what you're trying to do is ladder yourself, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong. I'm thinking of like the end model, like the after model, what we call it. So there's, for you guys, if you're coming to camp, you'll learn this, but there's a before model, which is the one we're operating in right now.
Yes.
And then there's the after model. And this is like so when you think about our unintentional and our intentional model, mm-hmm. the after model is I have arrived model. Like, I want to get here. This is the one for me. Then all the way through that are a lot of intentional models that you're going to be practicing all the way through to get to your after. And what I'm playing around with is the after model is the body I want is the one I have. And to feel complete love, adoration, and unconditional love for that body.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I think that what I'm experiencing is the more that I am willing to fall in love with my body as it is, I notice my action lines are changing a lot. Like, I'm suddenly caring for it a little bit more, paying more particular attention to it. Like, I swear to God, I have this halo top habit. I love fucking halo top. I mean, the halo top people, I could be an affiliate. Like, just all the things. And I have not had them in a little, like probably a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And then we decided, I was like, all right, we're going to put it back on the plan. I'm going to have them. And so we went and got some the other day, and we had planned to have them Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I swear to God, this morning, I woke up after the third day and was back to not really happy colon. And I know it's the halo top. It's the only thing that's changed. And I was like, well, I don't like this in my body. And I marched into Chris's office and I was like, halo top once a week now. And so I want to try, like, just once. But it was the first time I have ever said something like that. And not from, well, it bloats me. It doesn't give me the stomach I want, stuff like that. It's like, no, you know what? I think because I'm actually loving my body these days, I'm willing to say no to something orally that I love to experience love for the whole body. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Cause I've done the same thing with like alcohol. Like, I can't handle a hangover. I'm a big baby. So I'm just like, I am only going to drink alcohol when I plan it and when it's with somebody that like I want to hang out with, and it's a side thing. It's not the main thing.
Yeah.
And probably what's another thing? Oh, eating out. I just don't eat out unless it's like we have to do it, or like I don't have any food, because I don't like the way I feel after I eat out. I know I could eat out at like better places, but it just doesn't make me feel good not to eat the food that I love that I make. So
yeah,
no, I understand that.
I also, have been practicing, and you might want to practice this, is mm-hmm. I've been saying a lot to myself, like when I look in the mirror, when I weigh on the scale, when I do things, I've been saying over and over again, this is a good opportunity to love yourself.
Yeah.
Because my default is to criticize.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like, you know, walking around crying and whining and stuff, but it's that subtle little bit of digs. It kind of just like wear you down. Like, you know, you don't end up wearing clothes that you really want to wear and stuff. So I've been doing this, and I'm so glad you brought this up. So I've been wanting to share this with the tribe, and I'm like, last thing I need to do is shoot one more video for them. We got like 400. But I was walking the other day, mm-hmm. and I was sitting there thinking about dresses. And I was like, yeah, I love dresses. I think they're so cute. I love little short dresses, all these things. And I said, yeah, but they don't look good with your legs. Mm-hmm. Like, your legs don't look good with them. And I was like, wait a minute. But I love dresses. And it suddenly dawned on me that I was changing the model from the C-line. Rather than, like, doing something I love and wearing something that I love and learning how to love my legs, I was not participating in something that I loved in order to not have to deal with my thoughts about my legs. So rather than, like, putting, like, dresses in my closet in the C-line, it's like, dresses ain't in the closet in the C-line. But I don't have to think about them. And so anyway, needless to say, I went online and bought two dresses.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Like I bought two dresses I would never buy.
Oh.
Show the legs, man.
That's fine. Awesome.
And I'm going to shave them tomorrow too, whether it kills me or not. But it's one of those things that I think about when we are, you know, when you're talking about the body you have and wanting that body, I think we have to practice really wanting the body we have at every size. We have a podcast coming out, the biggest regret that I have, and it's not really a regret, but it's a podcast about, like, what would I have done different? Mm-hmm. I didn't start on day one practicing loving my body, saying nice things to it, never criticizing it, accepting it for where it is now, and taking immaculate care of it. Had I started there, I mean, I could have saved myself so much pain and heartache. You know, like, I'm still unraveling it 15 years later, you know. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mama?
Well, I think I'm at the point right now where I have two thoughts and they're competing with each other. I know I'm keeping the competition going, but I have the thought of there's always room for improvement.
Okay.
And it kind of... will I ever have the body that I want? And I know that I should love the body that I have.
But
however, I always want to think that there's room for improvement. So
I think there's room for improvement is fine. Like, I think there's room for improvement here, but I'm only going to improve it because I love myself.
Okay.
And only in ways that show true love of me. Like, I'm trying to do that, that sub 35K.
Yes, you can do it.
Thank you. I'm working on it, working very hard. But it's like the idea of, like, you know, like with my running, there's room for improvement. But not because I'm going to sit there and think, because this is bad.
Yeah.
It's like, where are you starting from is the question. But the one thing you said is, what was your second thing? It was a question.
Which one? What time?
Just now. When you get beating
up. There's always room for improvement, or I will never or won't have the body that I want, or is it?
That's your old model. But there was one who said, like, I wonder if I'll have the body I want, or something like that.
Yeah, I do wonder that, if I will have the body that I want.
That's us holding on to the idea of a future body. Like, this is where I want to show where your brain's trying to go to. It still has to have this idealized version.
Yeah.
It's like, will I ever have the body I want? The moment I decide to want this one is the answer.
Okay. Okay.
And that's what I want you to, like, stay really present with. Mm-hmm. At the moment this one is the one that I want, everything can change for me, because then I will snap into the model that allows me to do all the things, make the decisions. Like, I won't sit there and think I need to start running when a doctor told me not to, just to have a runner's body.
Yeah.
Like, little things like that. It will, like, make it, like, the choices, the options, the creativity, the, like, you know, maybe there are things that about this body that are pretty wonderful that you dismiss because maybe this one particular thing poses you. Like, all of that starts snapping into alignment when your answer really becomes like, will I ever have the body I want? Of course, I have this one. This is the one I want.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Another thing I've been doing is, like, I sometimes, when I look in a mirror, I have issues. Not issues, but I have thoughts that come up about, like, oh, your legs are gross, or, like, things like that. And I've been redirecting myself, asking the question, like, are you criticizing, condemning, or complaining about your body right now? Because how are you supposed to love it if you're going to do one of those things against it? So I'm trying, but it's,
yeah,
it's,
no, I think this is amazing. I think you just have to like sit there and just say like, these are my, like start with, these are my legs. Mm-hmm. There's no other descriptor needed right now.
Okay.
Because I go through the same thing. That's why I've been doing all that. This is, we're going to love ourselves. I'm going to look and I'm going to love.
Yeah.
But like these legs, no more like saying other things. And when they come in, you got to be like, no, it's a no. That's not how we talk about ourselves.
Okay.
It's all the things you're saying. I wouldn't even though like, I mean, I don't think it's, there's anything wrong with you saying, are we criticizing, complaining, or whatever the other thing was?
Condemning.
I just need to be like, I know for sure we can have a better conversation.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes they come in real fast and like, I just am like, oh, that's just a critique. Like I just think of it as a critique, but I'm like, no, you're being a little harmful to like your thoughts. Like you're choosing to think harmful thoughts. Mm-hmm. So
Happy is asking, I'm just not getting that concept about wanting the body you have. And I think it goes back to, it's hard because we have spent most of us have spent our entire life not wanting the body we have. Mm-hmm. Most people, when they are at their best, still in that moment, don't want. I mean, how many of you were like 110 pounds in high school and thought you were fat? I remember my mom telling me all the time. Yeah. My mother tells me all the time. She's like, my mom weighs like over 300 now. And she said, when I was in high school, she was a baton twirler.
Okay.
Where they had to wear like basically a bathing suit to go out on the field and, you know, march. And she was like, I was 110 pounds and all I thought was my thighs were fat.
Yep.
We are so, like, the circumstance can't be, this is the body. Mm-hmm. It's like, you have to really want this body. Like, say like, no, I want you. I want you because I want to take care of you. It would be like if you had, like, I want you guys to think about even, I don't know if this is the best analogy, but what if you went to the pound and there was like the puppy nobody wanted and he was like missing an ear and all the things you get to, a lot of people will walk in and be like, there's something wrong with that dog. I don't want that shit. He's got problems. Wah, 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 wah. And mm-hmm. somebody will walk in and love it just because it's a dog, just because it's had a tough life mm-hmm. because of its imperfections. That's where we have to get to. We have to be like, I'm deciding to love you no matter what. Yes. And when I do that, I don't need to overfeed you anymore. I don't need to criticize you anymore. I don't need to think that I'm going to like somehow, like I'm going to get fat if for some reason I don't make fun of my thighs every day. I mean, seriously, we all do these bullshit things. Mm-hmm. And that's what you do. You decide to love whatever body you have. And then as the shade comes in hot and heavy, I'm loving this body no matter what. Step one though, guys, every single time that shit comes in your head, but nope. And go to something that you do love. Neutralize what, like when you look at your legs, like my legs are gross. Mm-hmm. Go to, no, these are my legs. And then give yourself a back end compliment somewhere else, somewhere that's easy for you to already love. Because here's the thing, when you're focused on gross legs, whatever it is you do love, it's just getting fucking ignored. Exactly. It's like having a problem child, and then the other one's sitting over there making straight A's, and you never give them any attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? And then that kid feels slighted.
Sorry, legs.
That's right. You need to be like, stop causing problems. My hair deserves time and attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it gives me a lot to think about, like talking about this, because I think for a while now, like after you said that, I was like, oh my gosh, it was like an eye-opening experience, but.
Go to my journal in the Facebook mm-hmm. group. I literally posted about that 15 minutes before this call.
Okay. I'll go. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Good call.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute. Like coaching a little kid. I'd like to know how old she is. Marsha. I got a Marcia. I'm betting you're the same person. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it's Marcy.
Oh, okay. I think we misspelled it on our side.
Well, it's my legal name. Sorry, I confuse people all the time.
Oh, that's okay. What are we touching on?
Well, okay, so I'm nervous. My first time. Well, I'm trying to figure out. So I've been in the tribe since April, and I feel like I've had pretty good success. Like, a lot of the concepts are making sense to me. The thing that's really kind of slowing me down, or I think it might be slowing me down, is where it's slowing me down and it's motivating me all at once. So my mom is sick. She has, I hate talking about it, she has early onset Alzheimer's, and she's really young, and she's never really put herself first ever. You know, she's just always been about taking care of me and my sister and my dad, you know, and, personality wise, we couldn't be more different from each other. You know, we are, she's just, it's kind of hard because I feel even guilty saying stuff about her. I mean, you know, it's just hard because she's like a wonderful parent, but she's just never put herself first ever, anything she wanted. You know, I think she allowed herself to just focus on other things because, you know, it is easier a lot of times. It's hard to put yourself first. And I think that's kind of what I'm going through, is I'm trying so hard. Like, probably a month ago or so, I was listening to you and you were talking about compelling reasons. And it's like one of the weirdest, I feel guilty about saying my compelling reasons. I don't really want to be like my mom because it feels shitty, you know, because I'm like, she's a wonderful person. But like, I guess when I say that, I guess I mean, I want my life to be more than about my kids, you know, or my husband, or I want to challenge myself, you know, but.
Why don't you use that as your compelling reason then? It may be because, like, I want to tell you, it might be that you want more for your life and you want to challenge yourself because you were blessed to have a mom show you, like, this is not for me. I'm glad she did it, but that's not me.
Yeah. I don't know. It keeps me up. Like, really, I just have too much, you know, I try not to talk negatively about all the shit going on and crazy busy. I mean, I get all that talk doesn't help the situation, you know?
No, it never helps you. I'm going to just tell you guys right now, all that never helps you. That's why we don't talk that way.
Right.
You can say, like, my mom's got early onset Alzheimer's and yeah, I'm sad.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying really hard to use it. Right. So I feel like half the time I'm able to use it to like focus and drive myself forward, like spend the time on yourself. You know, you're never going to have the time. Do it. You know, it's fucking hot outside, but like I'm going to walk at 8 o'clock and I live in Houston. So it's like a billion degrees, like 105 heat index, but I've grown where I really like that time to myself to just, a lot of times I listen to you, or sometimes I'm Marco Polo in my accountability group or whatever. Like, I'm good at carving that time out. But then at night, I cannot escape, like, just those thoughts about her because...
What are the thoughts that you can't escape again?
Just guilt. Like, it's very complicated, but, like, she's been sick to me probably for 7 years. But her and my dad, who, it's like, I'm not mad at him either, but, like, they just chose to ignore it because it was... kind of harder, you know, it's hard to figure that shit out and you don't want to hear that, you know, but I was the one that was like, you'll have to go to the doctor, like something's up. So I kept talking about it for so long that they finally went, but I just feel guilty that like maybe something could have been different if they had done something sooner, you know.
This is one of those things where you're going to need to understand that your guilt is simply coming from your brain spiraling out and trying to, your brain wants to stop hurting the mother. The brain does not like pain. And it's experiencing pain because she has Alzheimer's. And the only way that your brain gets out of pain is to spiral out in guilt and frustration. And those feelings are generating the pointless questions. Like, what if, what if, what if? It lets your brain go to, there was something different. There was all these other things. Is to take your eye off the ball of feeling sad. Now,
so what do I do with that at night? Like when I, you know, I go to bed easy and then I wake up pretty much, it's every other night. Like, you know, night A, I wake up at 1 and it takes me 3 hours to go back to sleep because I just have these thoughts of like, and then I'm up. So I don't look at my phone, but then I start thinking about work shit or my kid that needs therapy or all these things, right? Then my mind is just like busy working. And the next night I'm fucking tired. So I go to sleep hard. And then the next night I'm up again. And I just need to, I'm trying so hard to figure out how.
You're not going to be able to immediately stop all this. So I'm going to give you the hard news. Okay. Your brain is very trained to do this. You have done it for years. Probably. This is probably not new to you. No. You have some stuff now. This is the new lot of the things that you probably spiral out on.
Yeah.
And when you wake up at night, if you continue to lay there and allow it to spiral, it just is going to pick up on new things to think about. Your brain just starts waking up. It's like, oh, it's worry time. Yay. And we're not so exhausted tonight. So now we can just stay up for 3 hours and do it.
Yeah.
It's going to be not fun in the beginning. The first like few days, you're going to probably be awake as much as you always are. But what I want you to do is I want you to just, rather than getting caught up in the thoughts, I want you to watch them. I want you to be like, if these are the things I think about, it's interesting that my brain thinks about my mom. It's interesting that like my brain thinks something could have been different. It's not, but my brain thinks something could have been. That's just my brain trying to solve something that isn't going to solve.
Right.
And then when you start spiraling about the therapy and you start spiraling about your day and all that kind of stuff, again, you have to drop into watching your thoughts rather than judging them. Like they shouldn't be here. I'm never going to be able to be, I'm not going to feel good tomorrow if I keep thinking these things.
Right.
How long is this going to last? What if I'm up 3 hours? You know, like it's watching the thoughts and just being like, and I just want to note the ones that are coming in. I want to just know what I'm thinking about. And I will tell you just from a sleep perspective, for fuck's sake, don't grab your phone and start diddling.
No, I don't.
Because a lot of people do. And I'm like, this is why you're awake. You're on the phone.
No, I really,
your brain
I do that. Because I mean, I know that obviously like the light and all these things, and my husband's there probably like, he's trying to sleep. But sometimes I turn over and I feel kind of like a jerk. Cause then I'm like, hey, and like, I wake him up.
No, there's no more waking him up during this.
And I'm like, I'm really sad. I feel like I need therapy in the middle of the night. He's like really good at just like talking to me when I'm in that place where I just like, where I am spiraling. And then I feel really guilty. Like I have a new baby or something, you know, like I have to
wait. What if you just decide to be sad in the middle of the night? And you lay there and you just tell yourself, it's very normal to feel sad. My mother has Alzheimer's and I'm sad because I'm thinking these things. And that's what daughters do who love their mothers.
When will it stop?
You won't need it to stop when you quit fighting. When you like, why do you want it to stop? Because you feel bad?
No, because I want to sleep.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. When you allow the sadness, the reason why you're spiraling out about work and therapy and busy and the what ifs, it's because you're not feeling sad. You're worrying.
Yeah. I guess they seem kind of the same to me sometimes. I don't know.
It's because the worry's driven from sadness. That's why it feels the same, but it's very different. Like if you wake up and you're sad, you need to like just drop into watching what your thoughts are. And it's like, and of course I would be sad about this because my mom shouldn't have Alzheimer's. But I want you to hear the difference between what I'm doing and you're doing. I'm saying, of course I would be sad in this moment because I'm thinking my mom shouldn't have Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Which means like, no, she absolutely should. And the sad part is she has it. And we're going to focus on her having it now. Whereas what your brain is doing is wakes up. It's like, my mom shouldn't have Alzheimer's. This feels like shit. When is this going to stop? This could have been different. And you start amping up the resistance and the worry and the spiral and your adrenaline starts running because you're fighting with it.
Yeah.
At no point have you said, you know what? Yeah. It's time to be sad.
Yeah.
There will be a very different experience for you. The first few times though, don't give up on it. Because your brain's going to want to go to what it's always done, which is it shouldn't have happened. At no point, the difference between mine and your scenario is I keep reminding myself because I'm thinking these things. I'm feeling this because I'm thinking this. Whereas you're over here saying I'm feeling this because this happened. because this shit. Yes. I'm blaming all of my feelings now on my circumstances. And I'm not taking any ownership of my thoughts. And when you take ownership of your thoughts, when you understand it's your thinking causing it, once you have processed sadness, then you start going into feeling a little better. And I don't mean like, yay, mom has Alzheimer's. I mean, right. Yeah, daughters mourn mothers, even if they're still here. And then you have compassion for yourself.
I feel lucky that she hasn't forgotten me or my kids yet, but like, I also think I know it's coming, you know, like,
but that's,
but I don't want to think about what's coming. Like, I know that I want to just think like right now, like we have her, like she's still here. And like, I could still do stuff with her. She might not retain like what we talked about yesterday, you know, but it's also like, and I mean, like I kind of coach my sister on this because she's chosen to sort of check out because it's fucking easier and just not deal with it. And she can because she doesn't live in the same city that we do and stuff. So it's easy just to forget it, you know? But me, I'm always telling her like, you're going to have regrets later because she's still here and she very much knows who you are and who your kids are. And like, you are going to have regrets if you don't try to like enjoy your time with her now and just accept her for who she is now, right? She's not who she used to be. And
I want you to see where you and your sister have a lot in common.
Oh no.
Neither one of you are choosing to enjoy your mother right now. When you're sitting around thinking this shouldn't have happened and stuff, you're checking out of reality.
Yeah.
Because that's easier. Sitting up for you in the middle of the night, processing it is easier for you than dealing with sadness. Your sister checking out, not spending time with your sister, your mother, is easier for her than not feeling sadness. You're doing the same things in a different way. Just because you're physically present doesn't mean that your minds aren't afraid of the same thing.
Yeah.
Reacting the same way.
Yeah.
So I just want you to focus on you though.
I'm trying really hard. I mean, I'm doing so many things that I just feel like, you know, my mom will also tell me about my grandma, her mom, who's just dealt with fucking the worst situations, abuse and just neglect and all these things. And like, all I can think about my grandma's how fucking strong she was, because as a kid, she was like a feminist and she was showing me all these crazy art house movies and feminist movies and this book from the 70s, Our Bodies, Ourselves. Like, she was giving me this stuff, like, to empower myself. You know, that was the grandma that I knew. And my mom was like that, too. And I try to think of all those things that my mom did. Like, she changed, you know, me and my sister are like we are because of her. So I try to focus on that and know that I have that in me, which is why I've been able to lose 25 pounds, which is why, for the first time probably ever, I feel like I'm really moving the needle. But it's, like, it's really fucking hard because it's, like, all the shit you don't want to think about, you know? And all the work that I do here at PNP with you, and like, it's just really changed how I think about, like, I mean, weight loss is probably 10%, right? It's like just your mentality about yourself, like how much you give yourself, how much you give to everybody else, and how, for me, it's totally just backwards. I'm like, why am I taking care of everyone, giving so much thought to all these things, and I give myself like 3% of my time? You know, I give the kids everything. I give my job everything, like too much. They don't deserve it.
I know why. And I want you to have compassion for yourself because that's all you were modeled. And that's okay.
I was. I know. And it's like, I don't want to do that. But like, I'm doing the same shit she did that got her. I feel like it's not like her not putting herself first got her Alzheimer's, because it's not necessarily related. But like, she was always scared of a doctor. She was always scared of just things. And I don't want to be scared of things, you know? I don't.
Here's the thing that I want you to think about. You keep telling me all the things you don't want and whatnot. And you're not making a list of what you do want and what you're going to do to get there. And it's not going to take a lot of time. And it's not going to take you having to make someone suffer in order to do it. If you don't want to waste time with your mom, then the first step is at 3 o'clock in the morning when you wake up, don't waste time with your mom.
Right. Stop
worrying about what could have been, what should be, and what might happen. But like, I want you to have compassion and be like, it's normal to be scared right now. It's normal to be sad right now. I'm going to watch my thoughts. And then as they come through, I'm going to start thinking about, I don't waste time with my mom anymore. You know what I do? I think about the amazing woman she is. You will need to practice being present. That's going to mean you have to be present with sadness also.
Yeah.
You can't check out. Checking out is worry. Checking out is spiraling with pointless questions. That's your version of checking out.
Well, let me ask you something. Shit,
but it's checking out.
Right. So there's this other layer to this whole situation, which is that my mom just, she obviously goes to the doctor. She goes to the doctor with my dad. They have these appointments. She knows that's like what's going on, but she never talks about it. Okay. Like never, never, ever, ever. Like the most she might mention is like, oh, the neurologist, right? My dad is kind of there almost like as a parent, like takes in all the information. Huh?
Why should she? If she doesn't want to talk about it, why should she? Is that
I just thought it might help her, or maybe it would help me to know what she's thinking. Like, what are her worries about? Like, does she think about, does she really, I can't tell sometimes if she's just like, I've chosen not to think about this. This isn't happening. Or like, honestly, my short-term memory is so bad that I honestly don't necessarily feel.
Let's just do this. What if we don't care? What if it doesn't matter what your mom's thinking in order to affect your feelings? It's always your thoughts.
I guess I just assume she probably needs to talk about it, but she just doesn't talk to me.
Keep thinking you need to.
Right.
If you need to feel better about this, you got to do your own stuff. You cannot rely on your mom to want to do it the way you want to do it. Like, all right, we got Alzheimer's. We're going to do it the way Marcy wants to do it.
Yeah.
So Marcy can feel better through the process rather than just Marcy deciding to take in how it's happening.
Yeah.
And then feel better about the process. If your mom doesn't want to talk about it, it's your mom's choice. And then you've got to decide what you think and feel about it. Right now, you think that's wrong. How she's doing it's wrong.
Maybe she needs it and she's not asking me.
Maybe she does.
And she's not the kind to ask for help.
We always assume that we think, well, she'll get relief or she'll feel better. Maybe she needs it. Maybe all these things. Like you're just creating all the drama in your head, all the stories in your head, right?
Yes.
What if it's like your mom has always been the person who takes care of everyone, puts everybody out first? What if this is the only way she can actually do it anymore?
Meaning she doesn't want to talk to me because she doesn't want to upset me?
Yeah. Your mom has displayed, 50, 60 years. How old is your mom?
62
years of wanting to take care of other people and put them first. And that's the way she likes to operate. And now what you want her to do is be like, at 62 with Alzheimer's, I'd like for you to put yourself first. You want to try that on?
I know, but should I not try to offer it? Like,
no, here's what you can't offer it. You know why? Because you think that if she will do it a certain way, you'll feel better. You don't get to offer it until you feel really good about it. Like you're trying to get her to do something to make you feel better.
Yeah.
I guess that's not about your mom. I mean, you can say, well, she will feel amazing if she would know this, if she would do that. That's the easy way to think about it. But the only reason why you would want her behaving that way, because her behaviors and her words will now be your circumstances in the model. And the only way that the reason why you would want her doing all of that is so that you can have thoughts like, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
And what
I guess I feel like maybe she needs help and she just doesn't know how to ask for it. Or she's not asking for help because she always puts me first.
Right back into it.
Okay.
You're back into assuming you know what your mom's brain is thinking and doing and what's best for it. I will tell you, Marcy, you have no business being in your mom's brain until you get into your own brain and sort it out.
Okay.
I love how we all are like, I'm a hot mess, Corinne. I need some coaching and blah, blah, blah. But before we get to working with my brain, I'd like to distract myself with someone else's. That'll be way easier.
I just genuinely thought it might help her or us to talk through it.
It might, but here's the thing. You need to make sure you understand why you're doing it.
Yeah.
You think it's to help her. It is not to help her. It is for you to feel better.
Yes. No, that's true.
Yes. And so if you want to feel better, like what is it that you, like that she'll like what? What is the one sentence?
I guess I think she probably if you knew this was kind of happening to you and that what's coming, right? Like right now I know who my daughter is. I know who my grandkids are.
One sentence.
I'm sorry. If you knew that was happening, wouldn't you feel sad and wouldn't you want to talk to someone about it? She doesn't talk to my dad about it. She doesn't talk to me about it.
That's like 30 sentences.
Okay. I'm sorry.
We want one because we only have one model. We need one model, right? Okay. So you think she's sad and needs to share.
Yes.
Okay.
That's nicer.
Okay. Huh?
So that's much cleaner.
It's kind of like all that stuff is basically comes down. If she share, if she's sad, she needs to share.
Yes.
What if you just decide that she is sad and the way she shares is by doing it just like she's doing it. She just doesn't share it verbally. She shares it by not talking to us, by protecting us, by loving us, by thinking what I want to give my kids is no more worry. They're probably worried enough. That's how she's sharing it.
That would be just like her to do.
Yeah. That's why I want to make sure that when we are going to talk to someone, that we want to do it from sometimes drop into their brain a little bit from their perspective, not how you think they should do it. You're in her brain doing it the way you would feel better. Get into her brain and think about what would make her feel better. Okay. You need to be modeling a lot, doing thought downloads. And I want you to take 5 minutes a day to write about this. And if you can't even pull a model out, put it in Ask Coaches. Take another 2 minutes and type it in and let them help you. This is when you need to use the resources at PMP.
Yeah.
Let us make it easier for you.
Okay.
Until you can make it easier for you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, lady.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing so much.
Yeah. I think you're awesome, by the way.
Well,
I hear you talk about your mom and I'm like, I'm glad that you have your mom and that she's there with you, you know, and that she's obviously someone you love so much. Like, family's just so important. And I think that's what, honestly, I joined PMP right after she got diagnosed because I knew God, life is fucking short. And you only have so much time to really make it yours. I don't want to waste any more time. You know, I don't want to waste time with friends I don't fucking care about, with a job I hate, with not putting myself first. My kids will be fine if they have to eat chicken nuggets again. We'll all be okay, but I need to do stuff for me, you know? And it makes me feel kind of sad that I had to wait for it to get to that point to have a wake up call. But it did.
I will just tell you, some people get the wake up call and they just don't even answer. So don't be sad about that. Just be like, I got this life. I'm going to live it. And, you know, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways,
thank you so much.
All right. Bye. Bye. Guys, I can take one more. I actually have another call that's going to start at 2:00 and this bitch is going to have to pee. So, Harry, if we go fast, Teresa, I may be able to get through to you too. So I'll try, but I've got to, I just need to save time to potty or it's going to be terrible. Hello. What are we touching on?
Hi. Sorry. Can you hold on 1 second? I was listening to Marcy's call and I, had to go take care of my little girl. So
okay,
just hold on 1 second. I have a disabled daughter who, anyway, never mind.
Okay.
So what we're coaching on today is basically that I feel like I don't keep my goals in front of me. I'll write my plan in the morning. Usually I'll follow it till evening. And then it's completely out of my head.
Okay. So what do you think you should do about that?
I'm sorry?
So what do you think you should do about that? If you have a plan and in the evenings, it's not in your head or not even on your radar anymore, what's the solve for that?
Well, maybe I should post it to my refrigerator. I don't know.
You could start with that. I mean, that could be one of 100 things you try.
I just feel like my compelling reason for some strange reason isn't strong enough. Or
okay, then give me one you have now.
One compelling reason now?
What is your compelling reason right now? The one that you're saying, it's not strong enough. This has to be why at 6 o'clock at night, I'm not eating my plan.
They should be strong enough.
No. You should not eat what's not on your plan at 6 o'clock at night. You're not going to be sitting there going, it's 6 o'clock. Before we eat dinner, everyone, I need to review my compelling reason.
That's what I feel like I should be doing. Or at least I should have it in my head when
Put a sticky note on your fridge. What's your compelling reason? I've asked you 3 times and you've yet to get it to me.
My compelling reason is that I have a disabled daughter. She's 17. I will have to take care of her for the rest of my life.
Okay.
I need to be healthy for her.
Okay, then that's not working. So
why shouldn't it work?
No, it shouldn't work. You know why? Because it's not working. At 6 o'clock at night, are you tired? Mm-hmm. You stressed?
Yeah. I usually just buffer. I mean, I do.
Yeah, a lot. Why are you buffering? All right, so then why are you buffering?
I guess it's stressed. I don't feel that that's a justified reason, though.
But yeah, it is. You know why it's a justified reason? Because that's what you're doing. Like, rather than be like, well, now my reasons for even eating off plan are not good enough. Like, I don't have a good enough or compelling reason. I don't have a good enough reason why I'm eating. I just, like, it's all a bunch of, like, confusion. I have no idea. That's a lot easier because then every night you get to eat.
Right.
So let's just start with, if I told you there's no fucking way you can buffer tonight, or I'm going to come, where you live?
Seattle.
I'm coming to, that's a long trip. I better get started. I'm coming to Seattle. And if I see you eating off that plan, I swear to God, I'm going to throat punch you. I'm just, Crin's called Rogue. New training plan. It's called the throat punch. Comes out of nowhere.
I would love that.
You would after that the first time, and then it would get old after 3 days. And guess what? After the third day, you'd probably stop.
I just love it because I think it might work.
You could do that for yourself. You don't have to beat yourself up. But every single night, you can. The only reason why a throat punch works is because you sit there and you think about, I don't like that shit. You don't need me to come there. None of you need me to come to your houses and do all that shit. So at night, if I said you can't buffer, what are you left with? What would you have to be doing and thinking during that time?
If you said I can't buffer.
Like, we're eating the plan, damn it.
I don't know.
I'll wait. I got 30 minutes for the next call. That leaves me 2 minutes.
I guess I could journal.
I'm not asking you what you should be doing. I'm asking you what would be left. So if I'm not buffering, then I am stuck with this. Because the only reason why we buffer is to avoid.
I'm stuck with my thoughts. I'm stuck with myself.
Yeah. You're stuck with you. And I want to know what is you without buffering. I think these things, I feel these things.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Do you sit and think, oh my God, I'm an amazing person. I am slaying with my daughter.
No.
This is amazing. I'm just going to take a break. Like, I'm not going to buffer. So now I've got time to sit on my ass. That's so perfect. I've always wanted ass time. You think any of that?
No, I'm thinking how I'm not living up to my own expectations. I'm thinking about how I'm failing.
No wonder you're eating and not looking at that plan. Do you notice how, like, you absolutely knew, but you kept insisting you didn't? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to stop doing that. You do know your compelling reason. Your compelling reason is not ever going to sit. You're not going to, like, not eat at night, Carrie. And your compelling reason is like, I've got to be healthy for my daughter. And that is ever going to be more easy or more compelling than the thoughts of I'm failing her, I can't take care of her, all those things you just told me. That's the problem. It's not the food. Compelling reason, guys, only makes saying no to food easy when you have what's left when there's no food isn't a ton of bullshit. Because if you say like, all right, compelling reason, now you're going to make me eat on plan, but I have this left. It's going like, fuck the compelling reason. I'm going to eat. It's not because the food is tasting so good. It's because I'm left with this.
So what do I do?
You work on, like, why do you think you're failing your daughter? How many models have you done of that? How many thought downloads have you done? Tell me.
None.
10, 20, right. None. You've ate through it.
Right.
That's how you've worked on failing your daughter, by eating. I'm going to, like, this is really honest, Carrie, and this is, every damn one of you need to pay attention to this. Kathy, I swear to God, this should be a call. Corinne Ramp. It's coming. Mary, when you say none and you want to know, like, what is my compelling reason? You think I need a sticky note on my refrigerator? Is a sticky note in a better sentence dealing with why you think you're failing your daughter?
No.
No. Whenever we're buffering and we already have made our plans and we are having compelling reasons written down stuff and that's not working, that is your brain saying, honey, please talk to me. Quit eating over me. That is your brain's loving plea of like, you're doing the work on the food. Now work on me. Mm-hmm. So that you can execute what you're doing over here. So you're going to have to like, you need to do models and thought downloads on why you think you're failing your daughter. You like, until you reconcile that you're not, you start establishing the relationship there that you want to be having with her and you as her mother and stuff, will never, ever say no to food tonight. That's how you guys slip into white knuckles. Like, you might be able to a couple of nights do it and follow the plan. It will feel like white knuckling because you'll be trying to keep those thoughts at bay. You'll obsess about food so you don't have to listen to what's really going on.
Right. Yeah, I used to always say that diet didn't work for me because it just made me think more about food than I normally do. And it's, I think, now that you put it that way, it's like, I just don't want to think about it.
Why not think about it? Why not think about all of it? Yeah. You know what the worst thing that's going to happen is? You're going to judge yourself. Harshly. Mm-hmm. And that's already happening. You're just not listening. It's way in there, going all the time, and driving you to eat. Do you judge yourself for weight? Mm-hmm. That's where it plays out. Like literally the worst you're going to feel is bad when you think about it. But you get to decide how you want to think about it. So before you get to feel better, you need to see exactly what it is, the story you've created around all of this. Like, I have a disabled daughter. What are the facts of your situation?
The facts?
Yeah, just.
My daughter's 17. She's not able to walk or talk. She's heavy. I have to lift her. I have a lot of chronic pain, not just because of that, but for other reasons. So it's hard for me to exercise.
You have a lot of thoughts already. This is going to be important to TDL. I'm going to tell you the first homework assignment for you is to write out what the story you have and separate out true circumstances. I have a daughter. She's 17. She can't walk. She can't talk. We were really good there. Then she's really heavy. Her weight would be better. She weighs X amount of pounds. Do you know how much she weighs?
Yes, 117 pounds.
Okay. So like when you said it, I thought your daughter must weigh 250. I thought, yeah. Oh, she's probably got, you know, like, I don't know, steroids or something. How old is she? 17, right? So think about it. Think about your model. She's really heavy is a thought. Because if I just said, hey, somebody's got a 17-year-old who's, like my mom was 17 and she weighed 117 pounds. Would you be like, well, that's really heavy? Most of us would be like, fuck yeah, she better be appreciating her body. That's majority of us would be like, can I trade?
Well, she feels really heavy when I put her in the bathtub.
Right, but I want you to just see how the way you're describing your situation. She's really heavy, so I have chronic pain. I will promise you your model will be different if it, what's your daughter's name?
Kate.
Yeah, Kate weighs 117 pounds. Okay. And it's 17. I will give you one model. I'm going to tell you that really helps. And then as you go through, like, I'm in chronic pain. Say, like, I have pain on these days at these times.
Okay.
Like, I want you to really, and this is really key, and I feel for you here. This is when it's always hard for Corinne to coach, because whenever you, I think whenever you have a child, like our last caller had a mom with Alzheimer's and stuff, your life starts, the thoughts you have about your life can feel very true. And that becomes the problem.
Right.
The story that we create becomes very true. Like, she's heavy. Have chronic pain, all these things. And then the next thing you know, you're into, and I'm failing her.
Right.
Are you failing her? Be honest. Like, don't tell me what, like, your broken ass brain is telling you right now. I want you to be like, if I was DHS and I walked in, would I be like, what are you doing? You're failing your daughter.
No, I'm not failing her.
Are you worried for her? That would be a much better thought and more true than I'm failing her. So when we talk about our model and laddering our thoughts, although it doesn't feel amazing to worry, it is a level up out of failing. If it's like, it's not that I'm failing my daughter, I am worried about my daughter. And that is normal. And here are my worries. I'm a big believer in getting it all out, because if you don't get it out, then you just stuff food in. Mm-hmm. I think just addressing the thought you have about her head on would be very helpful. You should get on another coaching call where we can actually coach on the real problem.
Okay.
And let me just use this as my little example. For all of you who always want to come on and you want to talk about, like, I'm not following my plan or something. If there's something legit going on, just say like, hey, I notice I've not been following my plan and I think it's because of this. And we start with the daughter, mm-hmm. and our thoughts about being a mother. And we get so much into it. So if I was you, I would do some of this stuff. Like, I would do what I told you about, like, get the circumstances down. And then get your worries down and then get on one of the coaches' calls, the open hours.
Okay.
Bring that there and let them coach you through that piece of it about the story you want to start telling and how do you actually get to where you do that.
Okay.
Okay. For now, though, you can just put that sticky note on the refrigerator. And it'll remind you what you're supposed to eat after you've done your journaling and TDLs.
I'll do that.
Okay. Good luck. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, Teresa, I'm going to get you in. I feel bad not having you. I'll just go straight into my other car. I will pee, but I will, I'll get you in. And Harry, I don't know if you are friends with Joy, but I know Joy, she's over here listening. She for sure can talk. She has been coached a lot on her daughters and her children, and she can for sure be a resource. I don't know if you guys are friends. Oh, she's Joy, in your tall tribe. There you go.
Yeah, Joy and Carrie and I are all in the tall tribe.
So, like, wow, y'all got laid. Look at
what you're getting today.
Like tall tribe day. All right. Oh, I love your earrings.
Thank you.
They're so pretty.
They're
so
inspired by Celeste. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love P&P. All right, what are we touching on? We got to get you in so I go potty.
Okay, so I am obsessed with the scale. I even traveled on it multiple times, traveled with it rather multiple times for work trips and such. This last time I was on vacation, then I went to Dublin, Ireland for work, and my tall tribe was like, do not bring that scale to Ireland. That is ridiculous. And I'm like,
why are you weighing so much?
I weigh every day and put the number in happy scale. But okay. Once a week on Friday counts as my official weigh-in.
Okay.
I was so anxious about being away from it because I was afraid if I didn't have my scale, then maybe I would go off the rails. Or, I mean, I've been so successful so far following your program. Like, I'm down 46.8 pounds. I never thought, like, I'm getting emotional about it.
Why are you successful? Because you're weighing every day?
I think I'm just keeping it top of mind.
No. Why are you successful? Why is your result line success?
Because I'm doing what I'm supposed to. I'm making good choices. I'm making my plan.
That's really good. So that's your action line. All these things you're doing because you feel what?
I'm motivated to be successful, and I want to show up for myself.
Okay, so when you see the number, what's your thought?
I get encouraged, or it's data. If I've had sodium the day before, you know, whatever it is, then I'll say, yep, there's 2 pounds up because I ate chips last night on my plan.
But what is it like when you feel motivated? You see the number, let's say we dropped 2 pounds and you feel motivated. What is the thought?
I get excited because I like to see the number go down. The happy scale is like
1,000 feelings. I want a thought. That is a sentence. Like, you keep giving me new models. I'm like, no, I want the thought.
The thought is I'm successful at what I'm doing. It's working.
It's working.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. It's working is a thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have your scale, what if you just looked at your data of like, you know, like I watched all the no BS videos. It's working.
Yep.
I have my planner done. Oh, it's working. Mm-hmm. You can use that thought for any C line. But you're giving it all to the number on the scale.
Mm-hmm.
Like the number on the scale is not what's working. Guess what's really the C line?
I don't know.
you are the meta C, Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
Working.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The scale is just giving you some feedback. If you really want to believe that it's working and you're working, you get to do that whether you weigh in or not.
Right.
And the only reason why, like, I don't care if you weigh every day. You have a very healthy relationship with the scale. Mm-hmm. You've not given me any reason to think you have a problem. I know the tall tribe is like, don't you travel with that scale. The only time that I want you to be aware is when you're using the scale and you said, I feel anxious if I don't have it.
Yeah.
You need to practice now not weighing some in believing in you, in believing in it's working. Because here's what's going to happen, Teresa, and I know this from personal experience. Mm-hmm. What's your goal weight?
190.
You're going to hit 190, tall tribe. And then you ain't going to get anything but 190.
Right.
Maybe 192, then back to 190.
And then where's my rush coming from then? Right?
Right? You haven't gotten your rush from Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the scale, you put the scale number down is the, it's the indicator. I'm going to have to explain. I can't explain this today because I took notes and I really need to like flesh it out more. But I watched a documentary called In Search of Greatness. It's a sports documentary. And the guy was talking about data. And he says, what the problem is that we have data that just because we track it, we make it important because it can be tracked rather than using our judgment to decide what's important and then tracking. Mm-hmm. I want you to think about that number is important as one data point.
Yeah, it's not my entire guiding principle of my journey.
No, and I would never look at that number and say it's working. I would look at that number and I would think I'm working. Mm-hmm. And when you look at that number, one thing that will help you too is rather than just having 190 or whatever your current weight is in the circumstance line, have that number plus how many completed plans you had for the week, how many workouts you had for the week, whatever your other data is, put all of it up there.
Right. As a complete picture that can only be complete with all of those data points, not just the scale.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't pay me $1 million to plan an exception meal on Thursday night right now because I know Friday morning is the number I want. And maybe that's okay. But if a friend comes into town and she's like, let's go to the farmer's market and have a glass of wine, I don't want to be like, oh, no way am I doing that.
But if there's anything wrong with saying my goal is more important, I'll go to the farmer's market with you, but I'm not going to have wine. There's nothing wrong with prioritizing your goal and doing that kind of stuff. But don't sit there. You always measure it based upon how it's making you feel and the results you're getting. Mm-hmm. If you're wagging your scale to Ireland because you're afraid if you don't have it, you're going to eat like a shithead. That's not how we want to lose weight.
Right.
We want to for sure not wag our scale to Ireland and prove that it's working no matter where we're at in the world.
And I didn't bring it and I was down 4.6 pounds in 3 weeks. So it worked still because Teresa showed up. So
yeah,
I got to focus on. I was afraid I was going to get on this call and you were going to be like, your goal is to not weigh until October camp. And I would be like, oh, what?
No, you need to weigh and quit giving it credit.
Right.
Just taking the scale away from you doesn't help you change your thoughts about the scale. Mm-hmm. It just takes the scale away from you. So, and you, then you don't have thoughts. It's like when we were talking about body image and the other one, it's like me not wearing dresses. If I don't wear dresses, then I don't have a problem with my legs. Because I don't see them.
Right.
Scale away from you. You don't have a problem with the scale. You're not seeing it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean to say that you wouldn't have to be forced to look at other things. But I would much rather, you're smarter than this. Like, you really get all this thought work. You need to get on the scale every day and be like, this is one small piece.
Right.
So the exciting part is how I'm showing up in my life. That's the exciting part. Mm-hmm. This is just cherry on top. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't go down, I'm smart enough to figure it out. You've already proved that you can do that. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Thank you. That is it. I got everybody. Yay, me. All right. Now I get like 10 minutes to go potty. Y'all have a good one. And I'll see everybody tomorrow on the Tribe event rollout show. Bye, y'all.